Let's go through the Gemara here, and we dealt with the first five words on Monday, and we'll deal with the next five words today. Tana Rabbana. Mitzvah Chanukah, 1-2. Ner Yishu Beisa, the mitzvah of Chanukah, the basic way you fulfill the mitzvah of lighting candles, is having one light per house. And that's what we discussed on Monday, whether it's per house or per household, whether it's for the members of the family or whether it's for the actual house. Right, and that had a whole. We had a whole discussion there. The second level, the Hamahadrin, those who go after mitzvos, those who want to perform it on a better level. So we say ner l'kol echad ve'echad. So for that, each person in the house, there has to be a light. Let's be precise in the translation. There has to be a light for each person in the house. So if you have two people in the home, you have to light two lights. If there are 10 people in the home, you have to light 10 lights. So for each person in the house, you light. That's the second level.
This is
for lighting Hanukkah candles.
Even on no matter which day of
every single day. This is not what we do.
Two lights.
But let's say for your house, let's say two lights every single night.
Okay.
So that's what you would do. The best level, which is what we all do. V'hamahadrin min hamahadrin. The best level is v'shamay omrim yom rishon madlik shmona. Bishamai says, on the first night you light 8, and then you go down to 1, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then Beis Hillel says, Omrim, what we do, we follow Beis Hillel, who says, Yom Rishon Madlik Achas, Mikam Ve'elach Mosi V'Holich. On the first night you light 1, and then you go up to 8, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, which is what we do. But I want to focus on this middle category here. V'amahadrin, Ner L'Kol Echa V'Echa. For Mahadrin, we have... We light based on the number of people that are in the home. We light based on the number of people in the home. So I want to focus on what does the word mahadrin mean? Mm-hmm. Or what is mahadrin referring to? We do have the concept of hidr mitzvah, of beautifying a mitzvah in other places in the Torah. Like we mentioned on Monday, we have the concept of an esrog, having a beautiful esrog, or in everything, a sefer Torah, having a beautiful sefer Torah. We do have the concept of items, mitzvah-related items, having them be beautiful and nice. So what does it mean here? V'amahadrim ner l'kol echad ve'echad. So is it your normal usage of the word hidr, of splendor, that the mitzvah should look nicer? Is that what it means? Or does it mean something else? What does it mean, v'amahadrim? The second level, that those that go after mitzvos, is this to beautify the mitzvah, or is this some other purpose? Any suggestions? No. Okay, so let's... Yeah, you want to suggest something?
No, I'm just thinking.
I mean, the English translation, it seems to suggest it not to beautify it, but to be more meticulous in executing the mitzvah. So,
I would... Say that again?
To be more meticulous, to make sure that you're doing everything right for the sake of observance rather than the sake of...
Well, it's not to make sure that you're doing everything right. To just do everything right, the minimal level is just to light one. Like, as long as you light one, you're fine. So to light based on the number of people in the home, that's not to be meticulous. If you want to be meticulous, make sure that it really lights for a half hour so you can light, they can tell you to light 5 or 6, mm-hmm. a set amount. But why would it be based on the number of people in the home? Why would we say that it's based on the number of people in the home? It should be the same amount for everybody if we're concerned that the light's going to go out. If it's about being meticulous or concerned that it's going to go out.
Well, whose translation is this?
This is not mine.
So you want to say that?
I don't think there is a
meticulous. It's more for those that are
want to beautify.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's less on being meticulous and more on wanting to beautify the mitzvah. Mm-hmm. The question that I'm going to have is, which is we'll see, is a dispute. Is when we say v'mahadrin ner l'kol echa ve'echa, does that mean in order to beautify the mitzvah, we tell you to light based on the number of people in the home? If you have two people in the home, you light 2. If you have 5, you have 5. Or does mahadrin mean, it's not saying how to beautify the mitzvah, but it's referring to a category of people. Mahadrin means you have certain types of people who are mahadrin people. People who like to beautify mitzvahs. Not that this is saying that this is how you beautify the mitzvah, but there are types of people who like to beautify the mitzvah. For those types of people, we'll have a different route through which you fulfill the mitzvah.
I don't really see the difference.
So one is how to beautify the mitzvah. Let me, for example, I think to beautify an esrog, so you find a nice looking esrog, or to have a sefer Torah, so you make the sefer Torah look nice. I think there's a dispute, but if I light one candle, and that's the basic level of fulfilling the mitzvah, how does lighting a second candle beautify that first candle?
You'd think, or you might think.
How would that beautify the first candle? You could claim that it does. You could claim the more light that exists by the window, or by wherever you light the Chanukah menorah, that does beautify that original candle. If you say the mitzvah is only really that original candle that you light, that first candle that you light, because we pointed out that the basic level is just to light one for the house, so then when I light two or three, depending on how many people I have in the home, so then you could say that that beautifies that first original candle. Maybe that makes that first candle look nicer. You could make that argument, but I hear a very plausible argument to say that what does that have to do with that first candle? You're not making that first candle look nice by the fact that you're lighting a second or a third candle.
No. My gut says if you want to make the candle light, the minimal candlelight mahadran, or you use a nicer candle.
You use a nicer candle, or you use a nicer oil, whatever it is.
Or,
yeah. Yeah, you use a nicer candle. You wouldn't add on more candles to beautify that original candle, necessarily. I think there are those that do claim that, but it's not to beautify that one candle, that the mitzvah is just that one candle, and to beautify that one candle. The other way of understanding it is to say that there are a category of people who like to beautify mitzvahs, in general. Not about this specific mitzvah, but in general. They run after doing mitzvahs and they like to beautify mitzvahs. For that category of people, there's just a different way of fulfilling the mitzvah. A totally different way of fulfilling the mitzvah. And that is for each individual to light. And I think that would be very nice, because the basic level of fulfilling the mitzvah is to have one light for the entire house. You could have 50 people living in the home, and you just light one candle, and that would fulfill the mitzvah. But if you're somebody who loves to do mitzvos, if you're such a person who loves to do mitzvos, you're mahadir, you run after. The word mahadir could also mean to run after mitzvos, not just to make them beautiful, but to run after mitzvos. If you're somebody who likes to perform mitzvos, so then the way to fulfill the mitzvah of Chanukah changes. It's not one light per house, it's each person has to light. If you're in that category where you run after mitzvos, so then each person should light. Each person should fulfill that mitzvah.
Okay, but if you were to say to that person who has this quality of wanting to beautify mitzvah, and said to them, ask them, what's the rationale for using two lights, for using a light for every person, what would they say?
So within that, I would say that the obligation is not... You're asking a great question. What's the rationale just to light multiple lights? So I think the idea behind this would be that it's not just to light multiple lights. It's for each person in the house to light their own.
Uh-huh.
Meaning it's not just purely based on the number of people in the home should then light.
Uh-huh.
It's that
everybody,
if you really run after mitzvos and you like to perform mitzvos, so then you go ahead and light a menorah. Light that one candle. So then when each person in the home, if you have five people in the home or two people in the home, so each person is going to light a candle. So each person is going to perform that action. On a basic level, if you're not in this category, you just have to have one light for the entire home.
Mm-hmm.
If you are somebody who likes to run after mitzvos, if you're part of this category mm-hmm. called mahadrin, so then each person should be able to fulfill the mitzvah and light. Each person should go ahead
I see enormous danger in this whole idea. But you're institutionalizing a certain elitism. Saying, for everybody, you should do this. But for the special people...
So I'll tell you something.
That's what you should do.
So I'll tell you something. And then... on Monday, this coming Monday, we're going to discuss the really special people. Mahadrin mina mahadrin. These really special people. We're talking about like the elite of the elite here. Right? So they have, which is, who's the elite of the elite?
That would be us.
And how do
that's us. That's what we do. We don't even do what the second group does. We do the elite of the elite. What's fascinating is that the Shulchan Aruch, which is our basic law, code of law, only mentions the third category.
Oh.
It doesn't even mention the basic one. It doesn't reference the basic one at all. Or the second one. It only mentions the third one. And I think this is like is an amazing insight into Chanukah in general. I think part of this is way off topic. But I think part of Chanukah is about serving God in the ultimate fashion. and that you're supposed to serve God. We created the system of having three different categories: people who just serve God in a basic way, people that serve God in a higher way, they have a higher form of serving God, and then you have the best way to serve God, and everyone does the best way. We only have these three categories because we want people to do the third way, the best way. Because part of Hanukkah is about doing things in the best way, which also relates to the whole Hanukkah, the miracle that happened in Hanukkah, the fact that we had oil for all 8 nights, and we had pure oil. The problem was that they could have used impure oil, but they wanted to use pure oil. They didn't have enough for 8 nights, and there was a miracle that it lasted for all 8 nights. The truth is that even though in general you're not supposed to use impure oil, at that time, if you do not have pure oil, you're allowed to use impure oil. You're allowed to use impure oil. So it's not really, there was no necessity for the miracle. There was no necessity for the miracle because they could have used impure oil. But I think even the miracle itself is trying to show you, well, we want to do things in the best way possible. And so Hanukkah itself is representing the fact that we want to do things in the best way possible. So therefore we want to have pure oil. Even though you could have used impure oil. If you don't have pure oil, you could use impure oil. But we needed that miracle because we want to show how we want to use the pure oil. And so therefore there was a miracle. And I think that's why we specifically go based on the third category. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't even mention the first two. And I would suggest, an extreme position, is that the first two are just there to create three categories so that you fulfill the third one. No one's fulfilling the first two. It's just to create the third one.
Is there anything else which is like a doing mitzvah, you conduct yourself, that has two levels, let alone three levels?
No, I think it's specifically here, and I think it's because of this. I would like to suggest that it's. That it's because of this concept that we want to... I heard this from one of my rabbin, that it's this idea that we want to show Hashem, that we want to fulfill the mitzvot in the most ideal way. And so therefore they created a three-tiered mitzvah of Hanukkah lighting just so that we would fulfill it in the best way. So everyone, in terms of your question, doesn't this create elitism? The answer is that yes and no. Yes, it does, but everyone is on that level.
Right.
Everyone's on that level.
Well, as long as there aren't any other examples.
Yeah, I can't think of other examples. This is a very unique situation. This is like
when you buy talus, don't buy cheap talus. Try buy the most expensive you can afford, and with the filling, and with the etrog.
To a certain degree, it's a longer discussion, but when you. You're supposed to spend money to buy beautiful mitzvahs, beautiful items that serve as mitzvahs. But it's also how far are you gonna go that you're not gonna you could also use that money to help the needy, it's a give and take.
Yeah. The conversation I had when I acquired my tefillin is what's the budget? And so it was whatever it was. And he says, well, you can get this tefillin for that amount, but I'm gonna sell you the ones that are about 60% of that, and then you can use the 40% to buy somebody else a set of tefillin.
Yeah.
And that's where we went.
Wow.
So there is a concept of getting the best, but you always have to... Yeah. When you do that, so then you're spending money on that as opposed to spending money on something else.
Right.
Yeah. Anyways, that was a whole thought on the concept of Hanukkah.
Yeah.
So now let's focus back on the second level. The second level could either be mahajan, it could either mean we want to beautify that the mitzvah is only on the first candle. That's one option. The mitzvah is only on the first candle, and we want to make that first candle look nice. The way we make that first candle look nice is by lighting other candles based on the number of people that there are at the home. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is saying a totally, totally different idea, which is that Mahadran is not making that first candle look nice. It's referring to a category of people. A category of people who like to perform mitzvos, so then we'll say it's not one light for the entire house. It's each person should then light. Each person in the home should light. That's the second category. And I think this is a dispute between Rashi and the Rambam. We're going to see the next two sources. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, V'hamahadran achar ha-mitzvos. One who runs after mitzvos. If they run after mitzvos. It's not even referring to this mitzvah per se.
Mm.
It's not referring to the mitzvah of Hanukkah per se. You are just part of this category of these types of people who run after mitzvos, so then they should do the following. They should, each person should light their own. Because since you're somebody who runs after mitzvos, we want you to go ahead and light the menorah yourself. Instead of having one for the entire house, each person should then go ahead and light.
Are we assuming that everybody in that house is of the Mahadran category?
So again, I think for Hanukkah we are.
Okay.
For Hanukkah we are. We're not even on this category. We're in the next category.
Right.
If your father's Mahadran, you'll be Mahadran.
I want to.
Yeah.
So we are. So this is, so according to Rashi, it's referring to a category of people where each person should light. The Rambam, I think, has a different take on this. The Rambam, when he discusses these laws, he says as follows. This is in the next source. Kama neros hu malik b'chanukah? How many lights should you light on Chanukah? So he first says what the minimal amount is. Mitzvah so sheyeh kol bayis u'bayis malik, we quoted this on Monday. Malik ner echad ben shahayu anshe habayis mubin ben shelo hayu bo ela adam echad. The basic mitzvah is that in each house you have to have one candle, regardless of how many people live there. That's the basic level, the minimum level. But v'hamahader es ha-mitzvah, he phrases it as, if you want to beautify the mitzvah in the singular, not if you are a person who likes to beautify mitzvahs in general, but specifically with regards to this mitzvah, if you want to beautify this mitzvah, madlik neros k'minin anshe abayis ner l'kol echad v'echad bein anashim bein nashim. If you are somebody who wants to beautify this mitzvah, so the way to beautify this mitzvah is by lighting candles based on the number of people are in the home. It's a little bit of a strange idea, because why it ends up being that the mitzvah is just the first candle that you light, and then the rest are just there acting as to beautify that original candle, according to this approach. You're just lighting the other ones to beautify that original candle. And that's what the Rambam is saying. I don't know why beautifying that candle depends on the number of people in the home. I'm not sure what the correlation is. If just increasing the number of candles beautifies that original candle, so then...
Maybe it's to exalt a mitzvah is to encourage people to participate in the mitzvah. So you have a mitzvah, and you... All right, so anoint one person, the head of the household, to do the mitzvah. But if it's a really beautiful mitzvah, Everybody's going to want to... I mean, to exalt the mitzvah, everybody would want to take a first-hand role in
that original candle. You're beautifying that candle.
Oh, well, okay.
It's about beautifying that candle. And in fact, I want to just point out one other point, because it's also going to show that it's slightly different. According to the Rambam, and this is going to be an interesting dispute between Rashi and the Rambam, who lights those additional candles? Let's say there are three people in the home. So who lights those three candles? According to the first approach of Rashi, so the concept is that if you're part of this category who likes to perform mitzvos, each individual person should light one candle. Three people in the home, each person lights one to fulfill their mitzvah. The Rambam, we'll see in the next halacha, the one who lights the candle, those three candles, one person lights those three candles.
Oh.
It's not each individual in the home.
Huh.
One person, the head of the household, lights three, which is how Sfardim Paskin, we're here, one person lights for all three. So it's not like, it's not even the fact that each one's getting involved. Only the head of the household gets involved in the mitzvah.
Huh.
Which fits with his idea that it's not about each person getting involved. It's just about beautifying that original candle. You have one candle there, and he'll, if there are three people in the home, he'll light two additional candles. To beautify, you could say that it's beautifying it because the number of people in the home, you can only do it based on the number of people in the home to beautify that original candle for whatever reason. Yeah.
I wondered if another way of understanding beautifying the mitzvah is beautifying the idea of the light. Not simply the dichotomy beautifying the single candle by adding another candle, or the category of people who beautify mitzvah, but beautifying the idea of creating the light by having more of it.
By having more of it. It's an interesting idea. Do you fulfill, according to what you're saying, do you fulfill the mitzvah after you light one candle, or do you have to light three?
I think one.
One would be the minimum.
It's consistent with the idea that the minimum would be one.
The minimum would be one, but the way to beautify it of whatever the light represents, so then the light represents something which could apply to those three people in the home.
Right.
And so therefore you light three. It's an interesting idea. What comes out, which is going to have many different ramifications, is that according to this first opinion of Rashi, if you're part of this different category of mahadrin, those who like to run after mitzvos, if you're part of that category, you know for some reason that you're part of that category, if you were to light one, you would not fulfill your mitzvah. If one person lights for the entire home, because you're part of this category, you would not fulfill your mitzvah. You're not part of that other category which just says one light for the entire home. Mm-hmm. You are now part of this second category of people who are called mahadrin. So these people who are mahadrin, who run after mitzvos, so in order to fulfill your obligation, you yourself have to light. You cannot rely on the head of the household lighting for you. You will not fulfill your mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
You yourself have to go ahead and light. Mm-hmm. As opposed to the other opinion, the Rambam, there's a concept of just lighting one, then everyone fulfills their mitzvah, but then there's just beautifying the mitzvah, which is independent of your obligation of the mitzvah. There's the obligation of the mitzvah, and then there's beautifying that mitzvah. So to beautify that mitzvah, you just have to add two more to the three people in the home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a major, major difference between the two. That according to Rashi, if you're part of this category, you have to light, each person in the home has to light their own. According to the Rambam, once the head of the household lights one, everyone's good. If you want to beautify the mitzvah, so then you can, the head of the household continues to light for everybody else, based on the number of people in the home. So that's going to have major, major ramifications, whether you just have to light one, or you have to light, each person has to light their own. So just to prove this point, if you go to the second page, in source 4, the Rambam says, it's clear the Rambam says that only the head of the household has the light. He says, Ketzad, how does this work? Harishahayu anche abayis asara. Let's say you have 10 people that live in the home. Balayla harishon madlik asara neros. Ubalel sheni esrim ubalel shlishi shloshim. He's discussing the third category, which we'll get to on Thursday, but it's third category is based off the second category. But he says, madlik asara. He doesn't say each person shall light one. He doesn't say each person shall light one. He says one person lights 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second night, one person lights 20.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all referring to that one individual person. So for the Rambam, one person lights for everybody, which is how Sfardim paskin. If you go to Sfardim, in their homes, they have one person that lights for everybody. And the concept, so now you know, the concept behind that is very different than for Ashkenazim.
Mm-hmm.
The concept behind that is about beautifying that single single candle. For Ashkenazim, we view it as we're in a different category of Mahajan people where each person should light.
Mm-hmm.
It's fundamentally very, very different.
Wow. So in a Sephardic home on the eighth night, the first candle is burned out by the time you get to the eighth.
If you have 10 people in the home, we'll get to that. So I'll just discuss that because you mentioned that. Let's discuss this right now. So let's say you have the following scenario. Exactly this scenario. You light the first one, and before everyone got to light, or before the head of the household lit all of them, the first one goes out. Is there any value in lighting the rest? Is there any value in lighting the rest? You light the first one, the first one goes out accidentally, and you're lighting the rest. Is there any value in lighting the rest? Well, wind blew out the first one. It's not because we're concerned that it's going to blow out the rest. But if the idea is to make the first one look nicer by adding more, the other ones are really just to complement the first one.
Yeah.
Once that first one went out,
it kind of gets lost.
So then it's lost. But if you hold that it's not about making the first one look nicer, but it's about each person should just get involved. So the fact that the first one went out, okay, the first one went out, but I didn't get involved yet, so then I'll go ahead and I'll light my own. You would very much need it. According to the Rambam, you need that first light to be lit in order to light the rest. So for now, I'm just going to discuss other ramifications for this idea. You have a question?
Yeah. So when we read source 4 with the Rambam in terms of how this works, he's only commenting on how it works based on his previous ruling, not the way Rashi understands it.
It's based on his own ruling, yeah. His own understanding.
Right.
Correct. It would be based on his own understanding.
So if, in terms of Rashi, well, we'll get to... on Monday, we'll get to Rashi's...
understanding of that.
Understanding of the extra... Okay, correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
I happen to think that Rambam and Rashi fit. This is, if you follow this, it's great. If not. On Monday, we discussed the fact that the basic level is ner ishu besa, each person and his household. And there was also a dispute between Rashi and the Rambam. What does it mean, the home? Is it the actual home, or is it the people in the home? So for Rashi, he understood it as the people in the home. Because for Rashi, the focus is on each individual.
Yeah.
For the Rambam, it's on the home itself, because the focus is not on each individual, it's just on the home itself.
Right.
So it fits.
Yeah.
Everything fits very nicely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's always good when it fits nicely.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get to some ramifications to this dispute, these two disputes, and then I'll have like 4 or 5 different ramifications to this. Let's go to source 5. This is the Shulchan Aruch. This is the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch says as follows: Yesh omrim afapi shemadlik malav besof beso im hu b'makom she'ein bo Yisrael madlik bevrachos. Let's say I'm married, but I'm away for Hanukkah. I'm going away for a couple days for Hanukkah, but my wife is staying behind. So my wife is going to light at home, and I'm going away. Right? So should I light where I am? Do I have to light where I am?
Well, according to what you said on Monday, you don't have to.
But let's say to fulfill this second level of Mahadran, where each person lights, so then would I light where I am?
According to... I would think so, especially as, according to Rashi.
According to Rashi, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
According to Rashi, if the idea is that each person should light, if you're in this category of Mahadran, where you want to run after mitzvos, so each person should light. So then when I'm away, I should also light. Mm-hmm. My wife will light at home, but mm-hmm. if I'm away, I should also light where I am. According to the Rambam, where just the head of the household lights, because it's to beautify that single light, so if I'm away, there's no reason for me to light.
Mm-hmm.
So
she'll light for you.
She'll light for me, and even if I were to light where I am, it wouldn't fulfill anything, because I'm miles away from that original light, which my wife lit. Miles away from that. It has no connection to that. So there's no purpose in lighting where I am. It's not, doesn't impact that light that I have in my actual home.
Mm-hmm.
So the Shulchan Aruch takes the approach of the Rambam. Oh. Right? The Shulchan Aruch is the Sfardi Posek.
Mm-hmm.
So he took the approach of the Rambam, and therefore he said, if you're away, you do not light. The only time you light is for technical reasons. Only time you would light is if you're in a place where there are no Jews.
Mm.
If there are no Jews and you don't see any other menorah, so then you should light just so that you see the menorah. But it's not, it's for technical reasons, it's not for really the fulfillment of the mitzvah, it's just so that you have some sort of connection to Hanukkah. Otherwise you're not going to have any connection to Hanukkah. But the Rama argues. The Rama says, "Afilu mu etzel Yehudim v'ro'an eres," even if you're amongst Jews and you already see other menorahs. "Im rotza l'hachmer al'atzmo l'hadlik b'fnei atzmo madlik." If you're away, even if your wife is laying at home, you should still go ahead and light. Because the obligation turns into an obligation on each individual. Each individual should light regardless of where they are. So each individual person should light. Because he holds of Rashi, where the mitzvah is on each individual person should light, and not just the head of the household.
For those that say that you shouldn't light, are they saying that if you do light, you're actually doing an avera?
No, the discussion is whether you should make a bracha or not. So you shouldn't make a bracha, because you can light, but you shouldn't make a bracha, because that could be saying Hashem's name in vain, because you're not supposed to make a bracha at that time. So there's no problem with lighting, but the question is really just whether you should make a bracha or not. Let's get to another example, another ramification. There's a concept, you're not supposed to use the light of the menorah. for something else. You're not allowed to use that light of the menorah and just light... What do you say? Well, that's a discussion because Shabbos candles is also it's a mitzvah, so that's a discussion. But for to read by it, like so, you put a separate light to read by it. Excellent. So that you're not allowed to do. Yes, to light exactly. To light your cigar, you wouldn't be able to do to light your cigar.
Well, you can with your shamash. Right?
With your shamash, you can. Yeah, but with the actual candles, you can't. But you could light from one candle to the next.
You can light from one candle to the next. You can use one.
If you wanted to, you can just usually we use the shamash. But if you don't want to use the shamash, we allow you to also use the shamash because in that context, it's for lighting the next candle.
Uh-huh.
So you're allowed to take away from one candle, and then that usually is not what a person does. Uh-huh. Usually, they just light a new match, which is ideal, which is definitely ideal.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want, you're allowed to light from one candle to the next.
Okay.
So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Madlikin ner Chanukah mi ner Chanukah." You're allowed to light from one candle to the next. The Ramah, the Ashkenazi posuk says, "V'nagu lahachmer b'ner tzchanukah shelo lahadlik afilu miner l'ner." De'ekar mitzvah so eino elo l'ner echad. He's stringent. The Ramah is stringent, and he says that you shouldn't light from one candle to the next candle. So let's try to figure out what exactly is going on here. What we're dealing with here is that you're lighting from one candle to the next. So what? And there's a dispute whether you're allowed to light within the menorah, the same menorah, whether you're allowed to light from your original one candle to the second or to the third or to the fourth. Now, why would it potentially be a problem? It's all for the mitzvah. It's all for the mitzvah of lighting. These are all part of the mitzvah.
Somehow you're taking away from the first candle.
No, but if it's for another mitzvah, it would be allowed.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps... It depends. If the other candles are not really part of the mitzvah,
mm-hmm.
potentially, if they're not part of the mitzvah, but they're just part of the making it look nice,
mm-hmm.
but it's not really part of the mitzvah. It's just trying to make the first candle look nice, so it's on a lower level than that first candle.
Mm-hmm.
So it ends up being on a lower level than that first candle, so potentially there would be a problem for lighting from that first candle to the next.
But not from the second or third to the next.
Yeah, perhaps not from the second to the third, because the second and third are all on the same level of just making the first one
mm-hmm.
look nice.
Mm-hmm.
So potentially that's the reason. That
mm-hmm.
might not be the only reason, but potentially that's the reason.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why you use the shamash to light lower candles.
Use the shamash, yeah, use the shamash for everything, yeah. Just a few more and then we're going to stop. A few more ramifications. Let's between Rashi and the Rambam. Again, Rashi is of the opinion that says that if you've reached this second category, so then the mitzvah is to light all the candles based on the number of the people in the home.
Mm-hmm.
You have four people in the home, all four people should light, and that's how they fulfill their mitzvah. If you light one candle, you do not fulfill your mitzvah. So let's say, but according to the Rambam says that the head of the household lights based on the number of people in the home, because he's making that original one look nice. Let's say you have an interesting example. Let's say it's day five. Day five, but you thought it was day four. So it's day five, but you thought it was day four. And you only lit four candles instead of five candles. Have you fulfilled your mitzvah? Did you fulfill your mitzvah? If it's day five and you thought it was day four,
mm-hmm.
have you fulfilled your mitzvah by just lighting four instead of lighting five?
According to Rashi, no. According to the Rambam, yes.
Yes, exactly. According to Rashi, this new level is that each person has to light. So then if you only light four and not five, so then whoever didn't light that fifth one has not fulfilled his mitzvah. According to the Rambam, you fulfill your mitzvah by just lighting one. The other ones are just there to beautify it. So you didn't beautify it to its full extent because you could have lit five candles. But at least you lit four. But you just have to light that one, and then you fulfill your mitzvah. So even if you mess up, so then you still have fulfilled your mitzvah.
The guy who says he lit a light for everybody, so isn't it just that the guy who lit fulfilled his obligation, and he fulfilled the obligation for maybe two out of the, or three out of the four people in the household, so there's only the one guy in the household.
That's what I would think.
No, because the man really holds, as long as you light one, you fulfill your obligation. The rest are not to fulfill the obligation of everybody else. The rest are to beautify that one candle.
So that
one candle works for everybody.
Right.
That first candle works for everybody. It's just everything else that I light after that is just to beautify that first one. It's not to fulfill the obligation for everybody in the house. Mm-hmm. That first candle fulfills the obligation for everybody else in the home. All the other candles that I light is just to beautify that first one.
Okay, but for Rashi?
But for Rashi, each person has the light to fulfill their obligation.
Yeah.
So if I think, it's hard to say day 4 versus day 5. Let's say if I only light 4 instead of 5.
And there are how many people in the household?
5. 5 people in the home. So one person didn't light.
So that one person.
So that one person would not fulfill their obligation.
Oh, so that's it's not.
That yeah. It's not. Right? Yeah. Let's say not day 4 versus day 5. Yeah.
So who's the guy?
Yeah. Who's the guy?
How do you choose? Who's the guy?
Whoever didn't light. I don't know. Whoever didn't light.
It's a race.
No. But if everyone lit 4 candles on the 5th night.
So then it's a so you're right. That's we'll get to, that's really a discussion for Monday. That's really a discussion for Monday. Yeah, you're right.
How did you know?
Yeah. Because we're going to discuss the third category on Monday. That's the third category. That's the third category on Monday. Other ramifications. We're almost done. We have 2 or 3 more different ramifications for this dispute. Let's say you forgot to make the bracha. You lit the first candle and you forgot to make the bracha. Could you go ahead and make the bracha now after you lit the first candle when you're lighting the second or third? Could you then say the bracha afterwards, after the fact, after you lit the first one?
According to the guy who says that just to beautify, you can't.
Yeah, if it's just to beautify, then you can't.
Right.
But if this is a new, if this is part of the obligation, this is just, you have to light 4, you have to light 5, so then you're still part of the mitzvah. It's not just to beautify the original candle, but it's really part of the mitzvah. And so then perhaps you could make the bracha. Even after you lit the first one, you could continue with the rest and make a bracha on the rest. It's also interesting, this is the last point, what bracha do we make when we light? Chanukah. So why do we say lahadlik to light the candle of the Chanukah candle? Why don't we say lahadlik neros shel Chanukah?
Mm-hmm.
To the first night, okay. Well, the first night we only light one,
mm-hmm.
and the second, the third, and fourth night we light multiple candles.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we put it in the plural?
Even the first night, if there's many people in the household, you know,
light. Yeah, but each person makes their own bracha.
Mm-hmm. Does it have to?
So each person at least lights one. So why don't you just have it in the plural? It should be in the plural.
Does it have to do with the fact that the one candle lasted 8 days?
So I don't know if it has to do with it, but you're still, ultimately you're lighting multiple candles. So if you're lighting, on the second night you're lighting 2 candles, on the third night you're lighting 3 candles, so then we should have it in the plural.
It would suggest that the Rambam's position.
So this would suggest,
yeah,
at first glance,
right?
Yeah, which is that the mitzvah might be just on that one first candle.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore we just have it in the singular.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps you could say that. You could explain otherwise that we just wanted to have one language that fits all 8 nights. On the first night, it says it's one candle. But it would definitely fit very nicely with the opinion of the Rambam, which says that you fulfill the mitzvah with just one candle. The rest is just to beautify that one single candle.
We say the same bracha. We use a singular bracha on Shabbat too, even though there might be 2 candles or 5 candles.
But that's because the minimum requirement there also, you fulfill your obligation just with one, by Shabbos also. The concept of having more than one is just, that's based on custom. That's not based on how you fulfill the actual mitzvah.
Is that a Mahadran concept?
That's not, I don't think, that's like even after the Gemara. That's it's a nice thing to do.
Uh-huh.
Can I offer another...